Good to see everyone this evening. How about flipping that light for me? Front light. No. There. Right there. There you go. It's good to see everyone this evening. Topic of this evening's sermon is, Are You Adrift? I got to thinking about this while I was making this sermon up, and I know that Tim and Carol last year had got in an incident where they drifted up on some rocks and got hung up and couldn't get off and had to have someone come pull them off. Well, our lives spiritually can be in the same position if we're not careful. We can get hung up. I also remember one time when I was a teenager and my family was at a lake near my hometown, and pretty good sized lake, and I had one of these 2-man rubber rafts, and I'm laying out there in the thing, and it was a warm summer day, and I dozed off, and next thing I know, I woke up and I was on the other shore across the lake. And it took a lot of work, let me tell you, to get back to where my parents was. I had to work really hard. Well, the same principle applies to our spiritual lives. When we drift away, it takes a lot of work to get back to where we are. Certainties of drifting. Drifting requires no effort. Just like me talking about sleeping in this 2-man blow-up rubber raft, it took no effort whatsoever. Matter of fact, I didn't even know I was going anywhere. I thought I was still right there with my family until I woke up and realized I was all the way across the lake. Drifting is dangerous. Just like I was talking about, I could have been in some serious trouble if I'd have drifted to the other side and hadn't had the energy and the stamina to get back to this side, the side where the family was. Drifting is deceitful or deceptive. You think it's not that bad, but then you find out it can be very extremely bad. One never drifts upstream. How do we get to heaven? We have to go up to heaven. But when we're drifting, guess what? We drift down. We don't go up, we go down. So we always drift downstream. Drifting will get you lost. These are all true of our spiritual lives. That when we start drifting, it takes no effort. It's dangerous. It's deceptive. We never go up, we go down, and we'll get lost. Common signs of drifting. Increased desire for things of the world. 2 Timothy 3:4. Traitors, headly, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Shows a sign here of someone drifting. Decreased desire to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved. Study thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also a decreased desire to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. It's a good sign of drifting when you don't do these things. This is why that the elders and I and other people have tried to encourage everyone to study our Bibles daily. If you study your Bibles daily, you won't have to worry about drifting. You know, think about it for a second. When you're in a boat and you're out in a stream or in a lake or out on the ocean, if every once in a while you take them oars and you kind of go back the direction you need to get, it's a whole lot easier than drifting a long way off and having to work really hard to get back to where you're at, having to row really hard. Studying and praying will help you stay where you need to be. Decreased desire for God's Word, which is the food for the soul. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Sincere milk of the word. We need to be feeding our soul every day. I've said this before and I'll say it again today. Is your spiritual soul starving to death because it's not being fed every day? You know, I could almost say that if you ate a meal and read the Bible, where would you be in life? Your spiritual soul would be as healthy as your physical body if you ate the same time you fed your soul and body at the same time. Decreased desire for the work of the church. Soul winning. James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the errors of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We need to be out there soul winning. I still say it's going to be really a bad situation when we stand before the judgment seat of God and have close friends and relatives stand next to us and say, why didn't you ever mention him to me? We do not have to convert these people. All we have to do is preach to them. But when we preach to them, what are we doing? We're planting a seed. And once that seed is planted, there ain't no telling what's going to happen. It may take a while for that seed to sprout. It may not ever sprout. I know being growing up on a farm, we planted seeds a lot of times that wasn't any good, that never come up. What would you do? A lot of times you'd have to replant. But you need to be planting the seed, which is the Word of God. Decreased desire to work for the church. A steadfast service. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, some people think that what they do for the Lord, it doesn't make any difference. But it does make a difference. Right here, this verse right here says, we need to remember that our labors are not in vain. And we need to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's always work to be done for the Lord. Common signs of drifting. Decreased desire for fellowship, attendance of worship, and Bible class. You know, it's kind of funny that this is up here, attendance to worship and Bible class. This is what Tom was talking about in his Bible class this morning, Hebrews 10:25-26. We need to remember this. Hebrews 10:25-26, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if you sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You know, it's a bad thing when we blatantly sin and we know that we don't need to be doing that. And a worship attendance is one of the things that I think is one of the top on the scale when people are really doing this out of blatant non-attendance. We look around here this evening. Once again, if you see people that's not here, give them a phone call. Say we love you. We talked about that this morning as well. Everything that we do for the Lord, we need to be doing for the love in our heart, for our brothers, our sisters, and for the Lord. If we're doing it out of love, it's going to be a good thing. But if we call people up and we say, Why weren't you at church this morning? You know, you're going to hell because you're not at church today. What do you think that's going to do to them? They're going to say, well, I ain't ever going back there if I get jumped on like that. But how about calling them up and say, hey, brother, we missed you today. We love you. We care about you. We hope to see you next time at church service. Wouldn't that be a better way to put it? And have an effect on them as well. Decreased desire for fellowship. Fellowship is to be pursued. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfast in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking in bread and prayer. This is part of the reason that we need to be making church services. We were talking about that as well this morning, about when we come to church service and Bible class, we're edifying one another. We're building each other up. If you're not here for worship service or for Bible class, how can you be edified? You can't be. So therefore, you need to be here for your services. So you can get something out of it. And I've told people before, believe it or not, when you're here on a regular basis, you're edifying me. You're building me up. You're encouraging me. So let's encourage each other. Decreased desire for fellowship. Fellowship should take place daily. Just like we talk about reading our Bibles. 1 John 1:3. That which you've seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Do we not need to have fellowship with God every day of our life? And when we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. So we need to be doing this every day of our lives. Cures for drifting. Keep growing. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. So we need to keep growing. If we're not growing, we're withering, we're dying. So we need to be growing. Expect resistance. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful to death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I've said that this morning when I use this verse, and I'll say it again this evening. Is that not what each and every one of us desire, is a crown of life in heaven? And there's going to be struggles and trials in our lives. How many times are we at work? Well, I work here, and I have the greatest job in the world because I work here, and I don't have to worry about this. But when you have a secular job and you go to work at a secular job and you hear people using foul language or telling dirty jokes or saying, hey, you know, we're going out on Friday to the bar down here and we're going to have a few drinks. How about coming with us? You're being tempted. You're being tried of the devil. But I told someone not long ago, when people learn you, and learn that you're not going to go in for that sort of stuff, they'll get to the point where they don't do it around you. I know my father, I worked with him for many years out on the woodyard. And the men knew how he was, and they didn't tell dirty jokes around him. They didn't use cuss words around him. They for sure knew he didn't drink, so they didn't even offer him to go out drinking with them. We get a reputation, we need to have it as a good Christian reputation. We need to maintain a strong anchor. Hebrews 6:19, which hope ye have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. What it's talking about is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ not our anchor? Does he not keep us whole, strong? Keeps us from drifting. If we have Jesus Christ in our life and we're studying the Bible and we're praying every day, guess what? We have a strong anchor. And I'm sure that Hans can explain this better than I can about drifting. I know a couple of years ago that Steve Morrison, when he was still here, took me down to the Kenai River and we were doing some dip netting in his rubber boat. And man, we got in there in some places where them boats were three abreast, and as far as I could see in front of us and as far as I could see behind me. And I said, man, this is worse than rush hour traffic going to Anchorage. Because we were constantly having to back the boat up or scoot over a little bit because it just kept drifting. You know, you couldn't stay in the same place. I said, I'd rather be in a car and just stop dead still than having to work this. Well, it's the same thing for our souls. If we're anchored fast, we don't have to worry about it. Are you drifting? Think about it for a second. Think about being out in that boat this evening. Our souls are worth an indescribable amount of worth. There's no way that I can describe what a soul is worth. The Bible tells us it's the most valuable thing that there is the soul. And if we're drifting, we're wasting that soul. We're just losing it. I know this was a short sermon this evening, but you need to think about it. Are you drifting? There may be people out there that are drifting. Some people that aren't here. That's why I said, look around. If you don't see people around you, call them. If they're sick, it doesn't hurt for you to call them and say, we understand you're sick. Or, is there something we can do for you? We missed you. We love you. We hope you get to feeling better so we can see you again at church service. Get them back on course. Because I'm telling you, it's a bad thing when people get to drifting. You know, we talked about people get to drifting. They start out, you know, you may just drift out a little bit and you come back. You drift a little bit and you come back. Next thing you know, you're not paying attention and you drifted. And you've been away from the Lord for 10, 20 years or more. Some people die never coming back to the Lord because they've drifted out so far that they can't make it back. If you're having trouble drifting, we want you to think about it this evening. Come forward this evening if you need to. Ask for the prayers. We talked about prayers. Prayers can do a lot of things that you'd be amazed. You know, there's been times that I prayed to God thinking, there ain't no way this is ever going to happen. And come to find out it happens. It really amazed me. I know there's people out there that pray for things. And I was talking to an individual just the other day. And we were talking. They were down in the lower 48 and some things were going wrong in their life. And I told them, I said, well, turn it over to the Lord and pray. You'd be surprised. And he said, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really trying to turn my life over to the Lord. We have to turn everything in our life over to the Lord. Most people have trouble with that. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you're out there, I've explained this before. I want you to think about this for a moment. If you've never been baptized, we looked at pictures here on the screen about people being in boats drifting. But if you never obeyed the gospel, I want you to think about something. You're not even in that boat. You're out there in that water with nothing. If you're in that boat, you stand a chance. You can be picked up or somebody can rescue you. Most of the time, if you're out there in the water by yourself, it won't be long till, guess what, you're going to drown. You're going to die. Guess what? If you never obeyed the gospel and you die or the second coming comes, you're going to die that second death, which is just like being in the water without a life preserver or life without a raft. If you never obeyed the gospel, you need to hear the gospel. You've done that this evening. Romans 1:16. You must believe the gospel. Acts 16:30 and 31. Repent of all of your sins. Acts 3:19. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. No other reason but for the remission of your sins. Mark 16:15 and 16. Be faithful to the end of your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You do those things, guess what? You're on a big boat with your brothers and sisters and you don't have to worry about drifting. You're in the loving arms of our Lord and Savior. If you do drift away, you're out there in that rubber raft all by yourself. Wouldn't it be better to be with the company of your brothers and sisters? Have some encouragement. Once again, if you need the prayers of the congregation, now's the time to do it. I know sometimes it's hard to come forward when you need to. I remember when I came forward. After being away, my old knuckles had turned white because I was squeezing the pew in front of me so hard. But all it takes is letting go and coming forward. I can't explain how much better you feel once you do that. If we can help you anyway spiritually this evening, please come as we stand and as we sing.